In the name of the living God. Amen. Inside of me, there are two dogs. One is mean and evil, and the other is good, and they fight each other all the time. When asked which one wins, I answer, the one I feed the most. That's a quote from Sitting Bull, talking about the sort of the struggle he had within his inner nature. And I want to tackle, because the gospel deals with it today, kind of good and evil. You might think that I spend my days sitting in my office praying and thinking deep thoughts, but nothing could be further from the truth. But every once in a while I do try to think deep thoughts, and this week was one of those weeks where I was wondering, what is the nature of good and what is the nature of evil? I want to start with some of the mistakes I've made on trying to be good. When I was in college, every time things went haywire in my life, about five times to be exact, I would show up to church thinking I would fill up my goodness gas tank. You know, I'd show up to church and somehow magically sitting there for an hour, I would come back and I'd be a much better person than when I came in. Well, usually I just felt frustrated because the sermon went too long, there was that annoying kid with the wrapped candy, and all I did was spend an hour kind of kvetching internally about how bad the service was. Now, this is a time when I didn't go to church regularly, so I was one of those spectators who thought, you know, I was critiquing everything. If the light wasn't just right, or the preacher said something silly, I was just like, I give you a C-. Well, this approach, often this kind of fill up your goodness gas tank, as misguided as it is, I'm willing to bet many of you try this all the time. I'm going to go to the food shelter. I'm going to go to the homeless shelter. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to do a good deed for my neighbor. And all those are really wonderful, important, and necessary attributes of following Jesus. But they ain't going to get you there. Following Jesus is first. And then out of following Jesus, then all those things flow out of your heart. But if you're trying to sort of fake it till you make it, you're probably not going to make it. Now, I've faked it a lot, and sometimes faking it till you make it is really, really helpful. But when it comes to the idea of goodness, you're never going to get there. Because out of your love for Jesus, out of your love for Jesus' people, then all sorts of good things will flow out of that and not the reverse. At the same time, then you've got the other side of it, the evil side of it. I have also felt myself a bit heroic at times. When I was traveling with Kimberly before we had kids in London, I saw this man, and he was abusing his wife, his girlfriend, wife, whatever. And I physically felt Kimberly's claws in my arm as I was ready to leap over there and go take on the drunken subway man. Right? Because drunken subway man had no right to do that to one of God's children, and by God, I'm going to stop him. Well, I'm a little older now, so I see the wisdom in Kimberly's claws in my arm. But I've always had a part of me has been this, like this evil crusader against evil. And I want to tell you from my own experiences, don't do it. Evil is way too strong for individuals. The devil got your number, and if you're going to try to mess with the devil, you are going to lose. I mean, it is a guarantee. The only way we can fight evil is by banding together as a community of love, and when we see injustice, we as a people stand up for it. And if you do like I did and try to individually crusade against the wrongs of this world, you will pierce yourself through with many heartaches and miseries. Now, when I think about the gospel today, this is a struggle between good and evil. And I want to read little bits of it to you and kind of give you, hopefully, a framework for understanding this gospel. Because this one in particular is easily misunderstood and, I believe, misinterpreted. So if you want to follow along, you can. It's in your bulletin. And this is the beginning. The crowd came together again so that Jesus and his disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem says, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of demons he casts out demons." Now, in the ancient Near East world, Family is everything. I've said this many times. It's worth saying again. Family is everything. You do not mess with family. You think Americans love family? You should go back to the ancient Hebrews. Because the family was not just everything. They were your safety net, your security, your all in all. When you were stranded without family, you had nothing. And so his family thinks he's lost his mind, and they come to take possession of him. Crazy son, you really need to slow down there. And then, on top of that, the scribes who came down from Jerusalem, this is a key I want you to understand, they aren't just saying, wow, you should see Jesus, he's kind of loco. They had gotten together and made a formal decision to pronounce him as a son of the devil. And this is really important to remember as we get down to the scripture. And so continuing at the bottom of page 4, and he called to them and spoke to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. One of the images I have of Jesus is that he's my best friend. Had it for a long time. And every time I read scriptures that don't look like that, I get a little uncomfortable. Because this is the story of a very violent image. And he's saying, I'll tell you what the kingdom of God is like. You've got to bind the devil, you've got to bind the strong man, and then you can plunder his house. And now how that can be part of the scriptural narrative, it takes a little bit of challenge if you've got the Jesus is my buddy as your only way of thinking about Jesus. So he's saying, what you need to do is let me, Jesus, tie up the strong man, and then you can plunder the house. You can plunder the world for the sake of the gospel. Continuing. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness and is guilty of an eternal sin, for they said he has an unclean spirit. Now, I've always been a church nerd, even when I didn't go to church. I was just a church nerd in waiting. So when I became a Christian at 18, I immediately dived headlong first into the church nerd world. And so I would read scripture over and over and over again. And for about 1 year, I read the Bible over like 5 cycles. And this always stick me whenever I'd read this, because I'm thinking, is there some big red button that if I push, I'm like a goner? Have you ever thought that? Probably not. So a few of you. Okay, good. So if there's a big red button that says, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And if you push that big red button, you're beyond the pale. Well, first of all, let me assure you that if you're worrying if you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit, you're probably not blaspheming the Holy Spirit. The second piece of it is that you've got to go back to the beginning of the scripture. The scribes have made a formal legal decision that as a community of faith, they were going to pronounce him a son of the devil. And so he's saying, this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, this calling him an unclean spirit, was, he's saying, if you're going to go so far as to formally declare me a devil, I can't work with you people. Do y'all follow what I'm saying? So if Jesus says, if the scribes say you're bad, and we're going to make you legally bad, there is no way for him to enter back into relationship with them. Because my understanding about relationship, about goodness, is it all flows from a relationship with Jesus and a relationship with his people. If you want to be good, love Jesus, love his people, and that goodness will then flow out of you. If you want to fight evil, if you want to resist the devil, as it says in 1 Peter, resist him firm in your faith and he will flee from you. But the way you resist him is by loving God and loving people. Because we are no match for evil. And so please, please, if you've heard this scripture and you've always wondered about it, to the degree that you can trust me, I don't think you've done it. Unless you've gone about trying to systematically destroy somebody through the legal machinery of your day, trying to gather people together to call somebody a devil, then you're probably okay. Has anybody kind of systematically tried to destroy somebody by calling them a devil? You have not blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. You are forgiven. Right? Y'all follow where I'm going? So that's that. I want you to be kind of rest assured in that. Then his mother and his, continuing, then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Now you can make a painting out of this one, right? You can imagine it, right? Jesus is going, "Oh, here's my brothers and my sisters and my mothers." I'd like you to get rid of that image just for a little bit. Because what Jesus is doing is saying, "Mom, leave me alone." People, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you who's my community. It's you all. And it's a very strong image. It's almost, I would say, just shy of a rejection of his family. He's saying, "I'll tell you who's in charge of me. Is that who those who's in part of me and those who do the will of God." And again, in the ancient Near East, family is everything, and to reject family was a very, very strong statement. So what I want to leave you with is Jesus doesn't always behave like we want him to. The images he offers don't always fit our nice and tidy picture of who he is. And if you want to be a crusader against evil and you want to be a good and righteous person, the ways you probably approach it aren't really going to be helpful. So I want to leave you. If you want to be really, really good, love Jesus. Love him with all your heart and your mind and your soul. And then, especially when people irritate you, especially if you're sitting next to somebody and you're thinking, "God, you really bug me," and on Sunday morning you're silently boiling about something, I want you to love them with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. That is the high road to goodness. That is the pathway to goodness. That is, a Sitting Bull said, if you feed that one, if you feed that part of your soul, the other part's going to suffer, suffocate, and die. Never going to quite go away. I mean, we have this evil nature within us, but you're going to suffocate it, starve it, and push it down so far, it's not really going to have much say in your life. And if you want to, on the other side, be a crusader against evil, please, please, please don't do it alone. Take my witness, if nothing else. It ain't going to get you anywhere. I have railed against the evils of society, and I have made myself nuts over it, and I've done absolutely no good when I've done that. So, if you want to fight evil, first of all, let God commission you. Do it with tons and tons and tons of prayer. Do it out of a community who loves and supports you and has a clear vision for what we are doing when we fight oppression and evil and sin. It's really the only way we're going to ever fight against it. And don't ever tackle evil head on. I've tried that one too. It's way smarter than you. It's way more equipped than you. And it's like if you take on evil head on, it's sort of like doing what I do when I'm doing my lawn care in my house. I think I feel so good when I get out the weed eater, and I go and I whack off the tops of the weeds in my flower bushes. Right? Do y'all know what I'm saying? So you kind of knock the tops off. It only seems to make them stronger, those darn weeds. So let the Lord bind up evil. Not you, not me, not the church. And then when he commissions us as a people, and he says, "This, my friends, Ascension members, this is a clear mission for you all to do it," then we'll do it together, we'll do it with humility, and we'll do it without a sense of crusading, but a sense that God has given us a commission. At least that's my hope when we go on a mission trip. I want us to go forth from you all today, here in about 30 minutes or so. I want us to go forth with a sense of humility, a sense of relationship, a sense that we are bound together by the love of God, that we're not trying to fix poor people, we're not trying to necessarily go around and convert a bunch of people, but that we are bound together in love, the ones who love Jesus and love each other, and then let God be in charge of transforming the hearts and the minds of those, the people that we go to. If we do that, then we cannot go wrong. We cannot go wrong. Even if the painting doesn't work out well, our handicap ramp falls apart the second we make it, or we fall into the swamp and get all sorts of cooties, we cannot go wrong, because we are going to be bearing the love of God and the mercy of God and the peace of God, and most importantly, the God who loves us and helps us to love each other. Amen.